Yud Dalad El Toshin Pei Dalad Rav Yosef Grunfeld Shlita.
Good morning. This week's Sedra contains the Teichocha. Contains the Teichocha, which, when you read it, when you go through it, is absolutely terrifying. On the other hand, there is another perspective from which one can look at the Teichocha from a different, totally different side, and one can get tremendous chizuk and emuna from the Teichocha itself. Because the Teichocha is full of predictions, of nevuos. And they are nevuos which have come true. We have to understand that the Torah was written and given over and completed and handed over by the year 2488, 40 years after it was after Moshe Rabbeinu, after Amamat HaSinai. So the Torah was written, completed, and handed over to Klal Yisrael, and all these Teichochos were written in there. And the period of which these Teichochos became true was 1,000 years later. And if you look into the detail of the Teichocha, the detail, you will see that this Teichocha could only have been written by someone who controls history and nature. Now, we used to give a lot of this schoira in our seminars to bring evidence of Torah min Hashemayim. We, Baruch Hashem, maminim and b'nei maminim, and we don't need raiyas for the truth of the Torah. Nevertheless, I was once talking to Rabbi Volbe, Zecher Tzal Livracha, and he said to me, the truth of the matter is that every Yid should be hearing this material. Now, I'm just going to base this on the Ramban. This year is based on the Ramban, and the Ramban isn't even in Parshas Kisova on the Teichocha. The Ramban is in Parshas Bechukaisai on the first Teichocha. And the Ramban compares the two Teichochas, one in Bechukaisai and one in Kisovai. And he says that if you look at the nevuas and the predictions of each one, you will see that the first Teichocha in Bechukaisai fits in to the Bais Rishon. It's talking about the Churban of the Bais Rishon. Our Teichocha in this week's Sedra refers to the Churban of the Bais Sheni. And if you look at the details, you'll see how everything fits in. So basically, I'm going to do a Ramban with you. And the Ramban is in Bechukaisai. Not here. But we'll just go through the Ramban more or less. What you need to understand is the following. That to make predictions and to get it right is quite a feat, especially if you go into detail. If you go into details and then the details come true, then you know that somebody's in control. So, for example, let me give you an example. Let's say I'm the weatherman, and I say that tomorrow will be sunny, and will be sunny all day. In Manchester, I wouldn't say that, but although it's happening at the moment. Yeah, but, yeah, let's say I would say tomorrow the sun will shine all day. Would you call me a prophet? No. No, why not? Because there are instruments, and scientific instruments, where you can anticipate and work it out. Let's say if I said to you that there will be an earthquake on the 30th of December 2024 or 25 in Japan. That's quite something. And then it happened. That's quite prophetic. Except that Japan is on a fault line, and earthquakes happen often in Japan, and therefore you could anticipate when the next earthquake is going to be, because it's on a fault line. But let's say I would say to you that on the 30th of December 2024 there'll be an earthquake in London, Chas v'Shalom, an earthquake in London, and the Houses of Parliament will fall into the River Thames. And on the 30th of December 2024, there was an earthquake at 12 o'clock. I said it would happen at 12 o'clock, and the House of Parliament will fall in right in the River Thames. What would you say then?
Prophet. Yeah,
he knows something. He's controlling something. Because Baruch Hashem, there never earthquakes in England, doesn't happen. It's on the fault line. And to predict in such detail, and it happens, that means he knows something and is in control of something which we are not. That's the idea. So let me give you an example. Here in this Teichocha, the Rambam brings it, in this Teichocha, it says, V'fitcha Hashem b'chol ha'amim, mikzei ha'oretz v'ad kitzei ha'oretz. That Klal Yisrael will be scattered from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth. Says the Ramban that this Nevuah is talking about Bayis Sheni. In the Bayis Rishon it didn't happen. The Bayis Rishon we were exiled, but the whole of Klal Yisrael were taken into Bavel. We weren't scattered. In this Golus, we've been scattered. Scattered through all parts of the world. And that's quite an incredible Nevuah to make. I'll give you a good reason why. Firstly, it's a detail. Why? How do you know that it's going to be scattered? That this nation is going to be scattered? Firstly, it's a very risky thing to say. Why should you lay yourself open and say that they're going to be scattered? But conquest is very common. Conquest is common. Scattering, to conquer a nation and to scatter them all over the world is very unusual and very rare. So firstly, why should one lay oneself open that if it doesn't happen, your Nevuah has gone wrong, you're a false prophet? Why lay yourself open and write such a thing in the Torah that it'll be scattered? And yet it's happened. It was Nisnabe years and years earlier, and it happened. You could, someone who risks saying that, and it happens, you can see that he's in control of history and nature. It's only the Rabbeinu Shlomo. That's the idea. You understand where we're getting at? So this is the Ramban. Let me go through some of the pieces of the Ramban. One of the things he says is that in the first Teichocha doesn't talk about tshuva, doesn't talk about that there will be tshuva and the Klal Yisrael will be gathered in from all the exiles, etc., etc. That's here. This is talking about the future. This is talked by Achris HaYomim. This Nevuah is talking about Achris HaYomim. And he says the following. Yisrael, for example, he goes into the details of the Bayis Sheni. Yisro Hashem Alecha Goy Mi Rochik. Yes? Yisro Hashem Alecha Goy Mi Rochik Mitzei Oret Kashe Yideh HaNeshe. It's just about a very interesting one. Kashe Yideh HaNeshe. That's quite a detail. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring upon you a Goy Mi Rochik. I'm going to get the full pasuk. Let me just... I've got too many notes here. One second. Yisra Shem Alecha Goy Merochet Mikseh Ha'oretz Kashe Yida Haneshe Goy Asher Loi Sishma L'Shoinoi. That's quite a detail. It'll be a Goy Merochet, a nation will come, the nation who destroys you will be a nation from far away, and it'll be a nation whose language you don't understand. Says the Ramban, in the first bias, who conquered us? Bavel. It's not so far from us. And there'll be wars all the time between Bavel and Klal Yisrael. And we understood their language. We understood Aramaic. You hear what I'm saying? And we understood Aramaic. So that doesn't fit. But when it comes to the Romans came from afar. And they spoke a language, Latin was a language which nobody understood at the time when the Romans came. It was a very new language and nobody understood it. It's such a detail. Why write such a detail? Why lay yourself open to such a detail? And also it carries on, it says, another pasuk. What did I quote just now? Ashek Kash. Goy mirochet mitzeo oretz. Yisra shamalech goy mirochet mitzeo oretz. Kashayida Hanesha, like the swooping of an eagle. What was the emblem of the Romans? It was an eagle. Where have I got it? Oh, keep losing the place. Yeah. This is the Ramban. I'll tell it to you in English. He further states that among the Levuas, the Eternal will bring a nation against thee. That's the Rabbi Nishleilam. A nation that you have not known, a nation whose tongue you shall not understand. This is the Ramban. I'm saying it in English. Such is not the case concerning the words of this covenant before us. I mean, he's speaking in Bechol Kaisa. That doesn't work out. For when we were exiled to Babylon and Assyria, which are near to our land, there were always wars with them. And most of Israel come, that's where we come from. We come from Mesopotamia, that's where Avraham Avinu comes from. So there are Jews who knew their language. So that doesn't fit to the first, but it does fit to the second one. Says the Ramban further, listen to this. Then he brings Ve'et Fitzchot, which I just told you. Then he says, Ve'eshivcha Hashem Mitzrayim bo'onios. That's Gol Yisheinu b'zeho, Yishemilei titois mehem sfinos. V'chein kosa b'sefer haromim. I think he means b'sefer haromim. I think he means Josephus. He means Josephus. The Torah says that your conqueror will conquer you and will take you on boats down to Egypt. As I say, he'll take on boats down to Egypt. Veshivcha Hashem Mitzrayim ba'onios baderech asher amarti lecha lo yisoisim oyde rois v'smakatim shom leivecho la'avodim v'lishvochos. Says a German historian, he's talking about once Beit had been captured. Everything came under Roman control, while Palestine, Jerusalem, was reduced to a desolate mound. Captives were sold into slavery in numbers too great to count. First, they were brought to the grand annual market at the terebinth tree in Hebron. Each slave was sold for the price of a horse. You won't be worth any. Nobody would bother to buy you. You'll be so cheap that nobody. You're worthless. It says that he sold for the price of a horse. These captives were not sold there, were bought to the marketplace in Azza, which because of the great multitude of slaves who were sold there, was called Hadrian's marketplace. And those who were still not sold there were herded into ships and taken to Egypt. herded into ships and taken to Egypt. Now that's such a detail. Why should we put in the Torah that they'll... How do you know they'll be herded into ships? Do you know how far Mitzrayim is from...
Around the corner.
You know, if I was in charge, these were slaves, I just conquered them. You know what I'd do? I'd walk them straight down to Mitzrayim. You mean small. Off you go. Take 2 or 3 days and you're there. What should I take ships for? Which are precious and they're expensive. To take ships and fill them up with Jewish slaves. That's a detail of A, which is unlikely to happen. And it happened. And it's written 1,000 years beforehand. Nobody can write this unless you're in control of history and nature. Yoylich Hashem oischo v'smalkecho asher tokim olecho. El goy asher lo yodata atav avsecho v'vatcho shom elohim acherim eitz v'oeven. Says the Ramban. Yoylich Hashem oischo v'smalkecho asher tokim olecho. It doesn't say asher malkecho asher timloich olecho. It says malkecho asher tokim olecho, whom you will appoint over you. Tokim means you will put it. Says the Ramban. I have to find it again. One second. Goy asher lo yodat atav avsecha, ki holach Agrippus hamelach besof bayis sheni leroimi, v'alichosoy shom nechrav habayis. We're talking about Agrippus. Agrippus was a king, he was a son of Antipater, and he was a king who was from a Goyish father. From a Goyish father, you can't make a Melech Yisrael coming from a Goy. And therefore he was a king, Asher Tokim Olecho, not Asher Tim. You placed him, you appointed him when you shouldn't have. And he was the one who caused the Churban. He went to Rome and brought the Romans. There was a civil war, and he brought the Romans to his side. That was the beginning of the Roman entry into Eretz Yisrael, says the Ramban. Where have I got this? Oh, that's terrible. It doesn't matter. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
No, it's just like to bring the history. One second. Yeah, Asher Tokim Olecho. Yeah, I wanted to get this was the Ramban. Chavel, on the commentary of the Ramban, brings more of the historical background here. He says this was Agrippa II, a loyal servant of Rome. The Ramban says it was Agrippa, and he fleshes out for us who Agrippa was. He was the last king of Judea. During the siege of Jerusalem, he was with Titus. And following the fall of the city, took part in arranging the Roman triumphal celebrations in Caesarea. He was the opposite of his father, King Agrippa I, who, in his genuine attachment to the Jewish people and religion, won the love of all classes of the people. Ramban here is referring to the book of the Romans, it's Josephus, chapter 65, where it is narrated that King Agrippa went to Nero, emperor of Rome, and told him all these things concerning the Jewish people's uprising against Rome. Whereupon Nero sent against the Jews the Roman general. This was the beginning of the war which culminated in the fall of Jerusalem. So says the Ramban, this is all prophesied and predicted in this Teichocho. I've got dozens of examples, but I feel this one is to me very, very powerful. This Nevuah is actually in Bichul Kosai, but the Ramban says that this Nevuah is actually going on both the first and the second Beis HaMikdash. By the way, I forgot to tell you, Vavata Shom Elohim Acherim Eitz Vo'Even. What's Eitz Vo'Even? It should have said Zov V'Chesef. What's Eitz Vo'Even? It says the Kuzari and the Vilna Gaon. Eitz is the Tselem, the wooden Tselem of Christianity. And Even is the stone of Kaaba of the Muslims. Both the Vilna Gaon and the Kuzari. And the Ramban says as well, V'nosna shebel keches kol ha'oil osa elu, ela al oivecho va'al soinecho. Eventually, that's what comes in Nitzom Vayelech, which is talking about our Teichocha. It's the end. It said when we do teshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will put all the olos, all the curses, al oivecho va'al soinecho. The Ramban was in the 1200s. The Ramban says, Aloi Vecho is the Christians, and Al Soinecho is Yishmaelim. So it's very, very Nagea. This was written in 1200. The Ramban, and the Torah was written in 2448. So now I want to tell you the following. This refers to both Beis Bat HaMikdash. Hashimoisi Ani Esa'oretz, says the Rabbi Nishalem. Hashimoisi Ani Esa'oretz, I will make the land desolate. V'shomu oleho oyvechem hayoshvim bo. It will remain desolate for all the peoples who conquer you. V'hoyso artzachem shmomo, the land will remain desolate. V'orechem yeyu chorvo. That means even when you are conquered and your enemies in Eretz Yisrael, the land won't flower, won't flourish. Now that's an incredible, incredible prediction. How on earth do you know? Let's just understand what the power of this nevuah. What was Eretz Yisrael like in biblical time? So it was an Eretz Zovas Cholom V'Dvosh. It was flowing with milk and honey. Later, Josephus, who was born in 37 AD, 1300 years after the Torah was given, he describes the land as being absolutely fruitful, very, very, very productive. And of course, in the Gemara talks about Rabbi Bar Yecheskel, who was from Bovel in the second generation of the Amoraim. He said he was in Bnei Brak and he found goats eating under fig trees. That means their milk was dripping from the goats and the honey was dripping from the fig trees. So he said, isn't that an Eretz Zovas Cholom V'Dvash? So you see that in biblical times, and in Josephus' times, and in the times of the Gemara, Eretz Yisroel was a tremendously productive land. Very productive. It's, by the way, it's known as that area is known as the Fertile Crescent. It's the crossroads of Europe and Asia and Africa. And it controlled the trade routes. And it was conquered. It was conquered by every world power. Eretz Yisrael has been conquered by every world power. The Romans, the Byzantines, the Crusaders, the Mongolians, the Muslims, the Mamluks, the Ottomans. Every single power in the world has conquered Eretz Yisrael. Isn't it in their interest to maintain their garrisons? You want that if you've got an army which is stationed in a country and you want to make sure that they stay there, they're fed, you don't want to bring all your food from Rome. That's not a good way. It's in your interest to keep the country fertile and cultivated. You should be able to feed the conquerors inside, in the land itself, especially when it's a land which is fertile. Says the Torah, Hashimoisi, I will make it desolate for your enemies as well. Now, what happens? Let's see what happens. Listen to this letter from the Ramban. The Ramban, who went to, you know, after he left Spain and went to Eretz Yisrael. He went to Eretz Yisrael. And he says the following, it's his translation in English. He wrote a letter to his son in 1260. I'm writing to you from Yerushalayim, the holy city, For thanks and praise to the rock of my salvation, I was deemed worthy and safely arrived here on the 9th of Elul and remain in safety until the day after Yom Kippur. I now intend to go to Hebron, the burial place of our fathers and mothers, there to pray on their graves and to prepare a burial place for myself with God's help. What shall I tell you about the land? There are so many forsaken places, and the desolation is great. It comes down to this. The more sacred the place, the more it has suffered. Yerushalayim is most desolate, Yehuda more so than the Galilee. Yet in all its desolation, it's an exceedingly good land. So when the Ramban came in 1260 and he arrived in Eretz Yisrael, years and years and years after Eretz Yisrael had been conquered by one after the other, the land was totally and utterly desolate. A land which was once Eretz Zovas Cholol V'Dvosh was totally and utterly desolate. Now look at this Nevuah. Va'omah, the Torah says, this is all the continuing, Tzom Vayelech. Listen to what the Torah says. Va'omah ha'doya ha'achroin, b'neichem asher yokumu me'achareichem, v'hanochri asher yovoi me'eretz rechoika, v'ro es makas ha'oretz ahu, v'es tachlu'ea asher chilo ha'shem bo, gofis for melech, sreifu kol atzal, lo'y sizror, v'lo'y sismach, v'lo'y ya'le bo kol esev. The non-Jews will say, Now this is historic. It's just fascinating. It's very interesting. I'm sharing this with you because it's interesting. Mark Twain visited Eretz Yisrael in the year 1867. And look how he described Eretz Yisrael. We traversed some miles of desolate country whose soil is rich enough but is given over wholly to weeds, a silent, mournful expanse. A desolation is here that not even imagination can grace with the pomp of life and action. We reached Tabor safely. We never saw a human being on the whole route. We pressed on towards the goal of our crusade, the renowned Jerusalem. The further we went, the hotter the sun got, and the more rocky and bare, repulsive and dreary the landscape became. There was hardly a tree or a shrub anywhere. Even the olive and the cactus, those fast friends of a worthless soil, had almost deserted the country. No landscape exists that is more tiresome to the eye than that which bounds the approaches to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a mournful, dreary, and lifeless place. I would not desire to live here. It is a hopeless, dreary, heartbroken land. Palestine sits in sackcloth and ashes. Over it broods the spell of a curse that has withered its fields and fettered its energies. Palestine is desolate and unlovely. And why should it be otherwise? Can the curse of a deity beautify a land? The Rabban Shem has cursed this land. For Omru Kol Agoyim. Ameos Hashem Kochol Oetz Hazois. He's cursed this land. Can the curse of a deity beautify a land? Palestine is no more of this workday world. It's sacred to poetry and tradition. It's a dreamland. Another, Alphonse de Lamartine, a Frenchman. Outside the walls of Jerusalem, however, we saw no living being, heard no living voice. We encountered that desolation and that deadly signage we would have expected to find at the ruined gates of Pompey. A total eternal dread spell envelops the cities, the highways and the villages, the burial grounds of an entire people. Now, we talk about Eretz Zovas Cholol V'Dvosh. Who would write, who would predict such a thing? Who would firstly suggest such a thing? That an enemy will conquer you, and that enemy will be conquered by enemy after enemy, and it's an Eretz Zovas Cholol V'Dvosh, and it will remain desolate for your enemies. How do you know? This was written in the year 2488. How do you know? Unless you are in control of history and nature. And the Ramban says, of course, The Rambam says that that was the reason for it. Says the Rambam, Ve'ele hadvorim yavtichu begulo ho asida haftocha shalema yoyse mikolchis yoynes daniel v'chol ma shomer bekan v'shomemu oleha oyveichem he besura toiva. What's the Rabbi Shom do this for? You know, ha ha ha, you can't have the land, so I won't give it to anybody else either. Ha ha ha, you can't have it, so nobody else can have it either. What's the purpose? Why did the Rabbi Shom do this? Says the Ramban, he besura toira mevaseres b'chol ha-golias she'ein atzeinu mekabeles oyveinu v'gamzu raya gedoyla v'haftocha lonu. It was always inhabited. It was a beautiful land. And remains desolate. Since we have left the land, no one has been able to cultivate it. They can't, because the land, says the Ramban, it's a besura toiva for us. Klal Yisrael is waiting for redemption, and in Mirtz Hashem, the land will flourish again.
Mashiach.
Yeah.
Why has it changed?
Pardon?
How come it changed?
We're not going into that now. That is a political issue. Depending on how you look at it, that's not for this year now. Yeah.
That the reason it was Mama.
What?
Shmama, it was because...
It's fast.
Yeah, it was one Jewish person in Israel.
Yeah,
one. One person.
There you are.
With a few kids.
Right. So, let me just finish off. Am I late? It's another shiur now. What? Yeah, just 2 minutes? I just want to finish off with a beautiful... I heard this one. I heard this many, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, from Moshe Sandhaus, Zecher Tzadik Rocha, when I was in Gates of Koil together with him. He told me, I can't remember if it was a shlo or it was a chidor, but it's incredible. Look, in this very parsha, which I just quoted, it says, Vayichav Hashem boch eretz ahiyah lehov yaleetz kol haklol haksuv haasev hazeh Vayichem Hashem alad Moshe ba'af v'cheimu v'ketzev godol Vayashlichem el eretz acheres. So the goyim will say that HaKadosh Baruch has thrown you out into another land. Says the, I think it's the Alshech. So the Alshech, that's what the goyim say. The goyim have been saying the whole time that we've been thrown out of the land and we're never going to come back. That's the HaKadosh Baruch has rejected Klal Yisrael, and they, of course, have taken over. Yemach Shemom, they have taken over. That's been the sprach of the Christians for the last 2,000 years. Vayashlichem, that the Rebbein Shem has thrown you out of the land. Says the Alshech, what's Hashlocha? Hashlocha is if I've got a ball in my hand, and I throw it, what happens is my hand stays here, and the ball goes there. That's Hashlocha. So what the Goyim's saying, Vayashlichem el Eretz Achem, HaKadosh Baruch has thrown you out. He's excommunicated himself from it. He stayed, and you're thrown out, and that's it. That's the end of your relationship with the Rebbein Shem. That's Hashlocha. The ball goes there, and the hand stays there. So they say, Vayashlichem el Eretz Achem. That's what the Goyim's story has been. Yeah? Look at how Torah carries on. Unbelievable. V'hoyo ki yavoyu olecha kol hadvorim o'ela. Habrocha v'aklola shenisati lefonecha. V'ashevoyse elevavecha b'chol ha'goyim. Ashehidichacho Hashem elokecha. When the Rabbi Shalom speaks, he talks about ashehidichacho. Not ashehishlichacho. Hashloch is when the hand stays here and the ball goes there. Hadocha is when you sweep. You know when you sweep, the broom goes with. When you madiach, you follow the dirt. The broom goes. The Baal says, "No, imanech mitzara, I've come out with you in Golas. Let them say what they like. Let them say talk about hashlocha. They talk about hashlocha. It's not true. Asher dichach Hashem echa, I've come with you and va'af af." Yeah, I'm asking like Galton Lachaloisam. It'll never be. It'll never be. I'm with you. Don't. It's hadocha and not hashlocha. So what I'm saying, what they were saying in the beginning, is terrifying. So read these techochas, but in these very techochas lie the seeds of redemption, receives of geula, because nobody else could have made such detailed prediction if they're not in control of history and nature. And just like Rabbi Kiva said, if the Sheolim were there, so the Mashiach will come as well. All the promises will come through, and they will soon reach the day of the geula. I'm sure at that PS Global, maybe or may not be.
Yeah.